Hi-ho!
Hey everybody, welcome to the Disney Magic Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Megan.
And we like Disney things.
It's true.
Specifically this week, we like Snow White.
We do.
And the Seven Dwarves.
Oh, and, well then.
Yep. Didn't have to be an either or thing.
That's good.
Like all of them.
I'm glad.
For those of you that don't know, this is going to be the first week in our theoretical 50-part series, where we go through all of the main Disney canon animated movies and talk about them one by one by one.
Although, to be honest, by the time we're done with the 50, we'll probably at least have 52. So,
very good chance. This is a part 50 part with bonuses almost guaranteed.
Yes.
But since it's number one, we are going to start out with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, which was Disney's first feature-length animated movie.
Yay.
And was the first feature-length animated movie in America ever.
Ever.
According to Wikipedia, because that's where all the news comes from.
All of the knowledge.
Snow White came out on December 21st, 1937, was the premiere.
Wow.
February 4th, 38 was the main release date, but it's credited as a 1937.
That's cool.
And so it was pretty much, you know, the kind of common story knowledge is it was thought, it, people figured it was going to be a failure of a movie.
Yep.
It was Walt Disney up until that point had been doing the Mickey Mouse shorts, and there was no thought of how a feature-length animated film would work.
Yeah, at the time, pretty much all you would see was animated shorts before movies with newsreels and stuff. So it was really weird when Walt was like, "We're gonna make a big one," and they're like, "What?"
And you have to pay movie ticket prices for this one.
Movie ticket prices.
This isn't the freebie that you know you're gonna get. So, and it was gonna cost like 10 times as much as any other cartoon.
Yep.
So at the time, there was like the industry was referring to it as Disney's folly, because basically this is what was gonna ruin Disney and put the whole thing out of business.
Which is so funny now. I'm sure those
people
feel
alert,
really stupid.
That didn't happen.
Oh, poor reporters. They were going on good grounds, but
so,
just didn't really work out for them.
And so, yeah, like, I can't emphasize enough how important of a movie Snow White ended up being.
It's true. Even if you don't like it as a film, like, you have to recognize how groundbreaking and important it is.
Yeah. You know, the best example, I guess, of that is when films started getting saved in the National Registry by Library of Congress, it was the first film to get picked.
Yeah, which
so,
is cool.
It is pretty cool. But yeah, it is just, it's so important, and I'm probably going to say important 900 times in this podcast.
Important!
So, it's such a big deal, and it's such a staple of film, not even animated film, just film period.
It's so iconic.
Yeah.
It's instantly recognizable to pretty much everybody.
So, and it's, I don't know, I'm at a loss for words, that's how important it is.
Monumental.
Important is the only word.
Monumental.
Yeah,
is
monumental.
Word. There you go.
I should have a thesaurus up while we do this one. But let's jump into the movie part of the movie.
Okay.
I'm gonna say, like, when I started watching this movie again, which this was the first time I'd watched it since maybe second grade.
Nuh-uh.
And that's being generous.
No.
It might have
okay.
been before then.
So I was thinking about when the last time I saw this was, and I was like, I vaguely remember watching this as a child, and then as I watched it, I was like, no, I have seen this more recently. We watched it in your and Sam's dorm room in, like, I guess my junior, your sophomore year of college. And I think both of us fell asleep. Because I'm pretty sure you were there. But I know I fell asleep because I didn't remember any of, like, most of the stuff with the dwarves at the house. Like, I didn't remember any of that. And I'm pretty sure you were there. And I think Sam was the only one who stayed awake the whole time.
So Sam sat and watched Snow White by himself.
With two sleeping people in the room. So, yeah.
That's kind of symbolic because it's Snow White.
It's true.
I must not have been there because...
I don't know. I'm pretty sure you were. Because I don't think I would have just, like, watched Snow White with Sam. That would have been kind of random.
I don't know. I remember watching it when I was sick. And that's the last time I remember watching it.
Maybe you were sick.
Well, it was the first or second grade.
Okay.
I remember that, because what I remember better than actually watching the movie is the Roy Disney intro to the masterpiece, VHS.
I remember that.
So, I actually remember him talking about how, you know, great and influential this movie is, more than I actually remember the great and influential parts of the movie. So, when I, like, started this one up, for the first time and for everything I've seen it, and it started on that storybook, and I was like... That's how all Disney movies should start.
I know.
So, I really like, which, you know, it's like the cliche thing now, but now I'm like, oh, when we started that, and I really like that storybook opening style.
I know, as I was taking notes, like, the first thing I wrote was, like, storybooks, like, yes! I love the storybook openings, and I'm really pleased that in a lot of the more recent movies they kept those. And actually, what I didn't know as a kid, and I didn't even realize it until recently, most of those books were actual books. I thought they were animated as a kid, but most of the original ones are actual books, and they've
retouched.
No, not retouched. It's they've, like, updated and fixed up. The books. I can't face the word. But, and they were on display at the D23 Expo this year. I saw pictures of the books, and that's really cool to see.
That's really cool. No.
So, yeah, like, that's an actual physical book somewhere.
That's cool.
It's really neat.
That's cool. Because it's real. Like, It was a big, like, clutch in my chest to pass, like, to watch that book open itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the last time I've seen that happen is Enchanted.
I want to say they did it for one of the recent Princess movies.
I don't remember if Tangled did it. Yeah.
I don't know.
That's the only one I could think of. But I remember being like, oh, the book! When it happened in Enchanted.
Yeah.
And it happened again when I was watching Seven Dwarfs Down. I was like, oh, that book opening itself.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's so pretty, and, like, just the art on the page is pretty.
Yeah, yeah. And I love how they don't read you the book. They're like, no, you've got to read this text yourself. You have to be old enough to read to see this movie, apparently.
Well, I didn't... I know I wasn't the first time I saw that movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, I kind of got the gist of it. It's in a fairy tale book.
I got it.
So, but then... Okay, so... First thing that happens, you go in and you're with the queen in the magic mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that happens is she calls the mirror a slave, which I totally don't remember.
Yeah, she does.
So she has this awesome incantation, and all I remember is Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, Who's the Fairest One of All.
Yeah, but
she has this whole
huge
intro across the darkness of space and time, slave trapped in the mirror of power. And I'm like, what? Because she just pitched the best prequel movie ever of how this creature came. Oh, my goodness. First of all, that mirror was the scariest thing as a child.
It was very creepy. And just his voice, like, that echoey quality to it is very eerie.
Yeah.
And the queen legitimately scared me watching this movie. I was like, this lady is crazy. I am very afraid.
That lady is crazy. And, like, the more you think about it, the crazier she becomes. Because she's so obsessed with, you know, physical beauty that she preemptively is crapping on Snow White's life.
Well, it's just like, okay, so villains in Disney movies have, like, sometimes legitimate reasons for wanting to kill people, and sometimes they have, like, really stupid reasons for wanting to kill people. And this lady has the stupidest reason. Like, this girl is more good-looking than me. Like, couldn't you just make her ugly? Like, she does this whole big potion to make herself ugly later. Couldn't she just... like, make her funny
just slip
looking.
Some of that in her food.
Give her a huge nose.
We know that Snow White will take food from anybody.
I know.
And her stepmother is like, I'm really curious about, like, day-to-day life in this castle.
Basically, Snow White just, like, stands around and cleans all day, and the queen, like, stands around and looks at herself all day.
But are they the only two people in this castle?
Apparently.
Like, Snow White, her stepmother, and the crow from the dungeon? All hang out.
And a random prince comes to visit every now and then. Yeah, no, it's very weird that they have no, like, servants or peasants or anyone else in the castle
There's 11 people in this movie.
Huh?
Like, there's 11 people in this whole movie. Seven dwarves, the prince, Snow White, the huntsman, and the queen.
Yeah. Oh, I guess the huntsman would live there, I guess. No, he probably lives in, like, the forest and, like, you know, kills deer and stuff for a living.
I don't know. Like, yeah.
But then you think he has to kill
But then how did she summon
deer?
Him? Like, did she just throw rocks at his house?
No, she sent the crow, Joel, obviously.
I'm sorry. That was the crow's point, was to...
Yeah.
He's a message crow.
So. Yeah, the first scene is her talking to Mirror, and then the next scene, she is cleaning, and she sings to the Wishing Well.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Snow White gets a lot of flack, especially about her voice, but I think she is adorable. I think she's so, so cute. And I love that song, The Wishing Well, and they have a wishing well. I know they have a wishing well at Disneyland that sometimes Snow White, like, hangs out at, which is so cute. But, like, yeah, her singing is very dated, I think.
It's distinctive. It's a very distinctive voice. And it's not a standard voice.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think it's by any means bad, but it's, you know, it's in, oh, that's the Snow White voice. Like,
yeah.
But, like, Ethel Merman is, you know, a distinctive voice, too.
It's true. It's true. And then her prince comes along. And that's the first
her prince
see
does
her prince.
Come along.
Her prince who does not have a name.
And so, okay. I want to say that, like, I like, am amazed by the animation quality of this movie.
It's gorgeous.
Like, how did that exist in 1937?
I don't know. I just kept looking at every backdrop and being like, that took you hours. And they're all so intricate, and it's got so much, like, beautiful little details and flowers and bushes and, like, the carvings in the dwarves' house. It's
beautiful. There is, when the queen is glaring at them, she is less detailed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, the only instance in the entire movie where it's not, like, amazingly beautiful, you know, just everything about it. Except the prince's lips bother me so bad.
He looks like he wears lipstick the whole movie.
He does.
Not like, not like super red lipstick, but definitely not like, that's not your natural lip color, dude.
And there's been, like, you know, there's stories about, you know, other ways that the script was going to go during production.
Mm-hmm.
And originally there was a lot more prince scenes that were all cut out because of the difficulty in animating the prince. And that's one thing, like, I can see why. Because he's like the little rough patch in this movie is his lips. And I'm like, I can't get over those guys.
But I love the scene where... he sings one song to her, and she's on the balcony, Romeo and Juliet style. That's so romantic. I think that's so
sweet.
Cute.
And sends the little bird down. Like,
yeah,
oh.
But she kisses the bird, and the bird flies to him, and he kisses the bird, and the bird's all blushy and cute. It's so cheesy, like, looking back on it, but it's so romantic
and sweet. It's sweet. And that's sweet, and the, you know, okay, so he comes up on her, and that's the thing, is, like, it's still as sweet, even though... He comes up and horned in on her,
like,
song.
She shows up like, hey
like,
girl.
She's singing her song.
How you doing?
Like you do when you clean. And he starts singing it, taking away her song.
I'm impressed that he, like, aimlessly knows her song. Just by sheer happenstance.
Well, it took me forever to decide where, like, the theoretical camera placement was in that well. Mm-hmm. Like, was it under the water looking up at him, or was I looking down at the water the reflections? And so, I think I was looking down at the water.
Yeah, I think you looked down at the water. And was seeing
reflection.
But also, the water in this movie is gorgeous. That's such a random thing. What is
that? That looks like water.
It's so well done. And it's, oh, man. It's so pretty. That's such a random thing to pick up on, but, like, water.
No, everything about it. So, okay. So, they're on the balcony, and the bird message happens, and then we zoom in up on the queen.
I have one thing to add to the bird message thing, because in my notes, as I was watching this movie, I have this little rant about how much I love that little scene where she kisses the bird, and she sends it down to him, and he kisses the bird. I have this little rant about how much I love it, and then at the very end, I'm like, how romantic, and also disease spreading. In reality, that would be really, really gross. Okay, we can continue.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Okay, so it zooms up. And first of all, it zooms over a lot of castle to get to the queen.
It's
to
a reiterate, big castle.
This is a big castle that apparently two people live in. So all of a sudden, I was like, I bet that castle echoes something serious.
I know, right? And it's just like two people, like...
You could go weeks without seeing the other, like, it'd be so awkward to see the other person.
And how
like,
does Snow White clean that whole damn castle by herself?
That's all she does.
She would get to the end of, she'd get to one end and the other end would already be dirty.
I mean, it's not like, you know, she has other people to talk to in her life.
Her life is so sad.
It is. You know, because also this is her stepmother, so clearly there was a... There's a dead father backstory somewhere up in there.
And a dead mother.
Probably a dead mother, yeah. So that's probably some deleted
scenes. I'm surprised that she has no other, like, direct relatives around. Like, no aunts, no uncles, no cousins, nothing.
Nobody to step in and be like, this is not the best way to raise a child.
I think this is kind of awkward. Maybe
evil queen with a one-track mind.
Yeah, let's get you out of here. We need some social services.
So the next scene is her talking to the huntsman and being like, I need you to kill Snow White and put her heart in this box.
Oh my god, that's so scary. She's like, bring back her heart. And I'm like, don't hurt me. That's terrifying.
And that's an odd request. Like,
I mean, I guess she just wants to know that she's absolutely dead.
Yeah, but we see it get foiled pretty easily.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
She clearly doesn't know what a human heart looks like.
She probably should have asked for her head, but I think that would have been a little difficult for the story.
Well, the thing is, like, yeah, also, you know, like you said, you could just give her a potion and make her ugly.
That's true.
Or rub some dirt on her face.
Just, like, take
give
away,
her a bad away, haircut.
Yeah, I was going to say take away her curling iron, like something.
Right, so no, the queen's having none of this.
Yep.
So, but they go out, and so my first thought was when they're going out and she's picking wildflowers,
mm-hmm.
is now she's in her, you know, real classical standard Snow White
dress.
Her
fancy dress. I was very curious why they gave her that, like, I'm going to kill you, but I'm going to make it look pretty. Well, cut out your heart. Like, what?
But the intro book, for the people who can read, the intro book was talking about how the queen made Snow White dress up in rags.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering how Snow White got her hands on this dress.
Fancy clothes.
So she clearly had them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, the queen clearly didn't give them to her, so that's probably some real sad final gift her father gave her before passing.
That just makes it even worse.
I know, right? Well, I didn't think of this when I was watching it, you know, as a child, but now I'm like, she get that dress. Well, here's some backstory that probably existed. Aw, poor Snow White.
I just love that the huntsman, like, goes to kill her, and he looks at her, and she's, like, singing and all cute, and he's like, nope, this isn't gonna work. You can go run away, but there's not much else I can do here.
But he was like, this has gotta happen right now, and I'm like, the queen's not after her yet.
Yeah.
I didn't know why the huntsman didn't take 3 minutes, maybe, and formulate a decent plan.
He was panicked. You know, when somebody tells you to kill somebody, you're not exactly thinking reasonably. Hopefully. But, anyway.
So, he sends Snow White out into the woods, and, oh man, I love that wood scene.
It's so scary!
Like, it is horrifying, and it was so scary as a kid.
Yeah.
But it was... It's really, really pretty.
It is really well animated.
Really animated. And that, like, that honestly, this time around watching it reminded me of Fantasia.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, you know, little shades of what Walt wanted to do in the future.
Yeah.
With music and animation. Because it's, you know, it's a whole sequence of just, I mean, she screams, but...
Yeah.
So much of it is just the music and the music telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could see that and I was, ah, oh, that's so good.
And then she sits down and she cries for a while. And then she wakes up and there are animals. And
yeah.
They are the most adorable animals. Oh my goodness. I want to take home a chipmunk so badly I cannot explain.
First of all, Snow White has some sort of supernatural power over animals. Like, yeah, I knew that she, you know, communicated with them from remembering watching it, but she's got serious control over these animals. Like, she could organize an army.
Well, my favorite thing about that scene, though, is that she's really upset. Like, this dude just tried to kill her. She's been kicked out of her home from her crazy stepmother. And she's, like, freaking out in these woods, like, hallucinating full-on crazy, yeah, scary trees. And these animals come up to her, and she's like, I'm really upset, animals. And the little bird sings at her, and she's like, oh, I should sing a song. I'm like, Snow White, you are the most optimistic person in the history of mankind. Like, I could be dead in any minute now. Maybe I'll just sing to make myself feel better.
Maybe I'll be real loud while I'm on the lam.
Oh my god.
With my really distinctive singing voice.
Also, this was the first scene I noticed that she occasionally rhymes when she's talking. And not even talking in like a sing-songy way. She just full out rhymes sometimes.
She does. The queen does too.
Yes, like, she does. But in, like, an evil, like, spell-casting sort of way, where Snow White's like, I'm gonna rhyme a little bit, it's gonna be fun.
Like, I wonder if there were, like, songs that were written and not songs, so they just became dialogue?
Yeah, they just wanted it to add to the dialogue, because they thought the lines were nice. I don't know, it's cute, though. It's really nice.
Or originally, maybe the whole movie was supposed to rhyme originally, and then they were like, this is hard.
This is stupid.
But we have these chunks, so.
I can't think of anything to rhyme with sneezy. That's all I can think of. It's like, bashful, what rhymes with bashful?
Trashful. So, yeah. Their house is very trashful.
That was what they got to, and they were like, nope, no more of this. And then she's like, animals, take me to that house in the woods. Like,
that's the thing, is she asks for something really specific. But she's like, I need a house in the woods that a human can live in, that can accommodate all these needs while being hiding from my stepmother, and there it is. Like,
convenient.
It's such a specific requirement, and the animals are like, I got this.
That's one of my favorite little bits of animation, though, when the birds pull her by her cape. It's so cute. Mm-hmm. Just, aw, little birdies. Little birds
that
everywhere.
There's so many moments in here that, like, I recognize from, like, just general Magic of Disney trailers.
Yeah, or like GIFs on the internet. Mm-hmm. I know that thing. I've seen that on the internet. So,
like, them pulling, and then other stuff like Dopey shooting water out his ears and, you know, just other stuff. And I'm like, yep, I remember that. And so, okay, so they get to the house, and she knocks politely,
mm-hmm,
after looking in the window, and nobody's home. And so she goes in and decides that it's really dirty, and she needs to clean up the house.
Again, like, nicest person in the universe, like, oh, I'm almost killed, and then I find this house, and while breaking and entering, I think I should probably clean up and cook them some dinner. Like, what? I love that that's her immediate reaction. I mean, I guess that's what she's done all her life, so.
Yeah, she's real good at cleaning. Like, she should be super efficient at it.
Yeah, and, like, seeing that state, so. I think I would freak out, too, and be like, oh, what is all this?
I would at least clean me a little spot.
A circle on the floor.
Yeah, I'd, like, clean this rag and clean off one chair and sit in it and wait for the dwarves to get home. Be like, y'all do the rest. This is my section.
Yes.
My chair, my circle.
This is where I shall sleep.
But she does that, and then sings Whistle While You Work.
I love Whistle While You Work.
That's like a Disney icon song.
Yeah.
Like that one along with the Wish Upon a Star. Like those are the things. But well, there's a lot of cleaning in Disney.
That's because there are lots of ladies. Ladies should clean, Joel. Well, I mean, yeah, that's basically it. Like, there's a lot of cleaning in Disney, especially because, in the first place, when the movies were started being made, like, that's what women did.
So, yeah.
Like, lady in the movie probably should sweep something. I think Aurora was the first princess not to. She doesn't clean anything. Oh, wait, no, she does. She, like, cleans the windows at her cottage. Maybe Ariel.
Does she?
Ariel gets to be the first non-cleaning
princess. Ariel's the first non-cleaning.
I think
because
so.
She's so flighty and unhelpful throughout that whole movie.
It's true. But yeah, there is a lot of cleaning. Yep. And it's also, like, true. So often the princesses start out as, like, maids or housekeepers. Yeah. So
I was watching that. And so there's a lot throughout this movie, and I'm like, this is the first Disney movie that did da-da-da. And I'm like, of course it is, because it's the first Disney movie. Because, like, one of my favorite just random Disney facts is, like, Lion King is the first Disney movie where somebody farts. And so I'm like, that's just a silly that's random
funny.
Fact. And so I think about, like, other firsts, and I'm like, the first movie where somebody cleans. Because that happens, you know, because it's Snow White, and that's the first one. So, that's of true. Course it's going to be. And so she cleans, and then with the help of the animals.
Yes.
Who, yeah, you want to talk about deceit, disease, possible problems.
Deer-licking plates.
Deer-licking plates being dried with a chipmunk butt.
I mean, they are really cute chipmunks, though. I think it was just a squirrel, because it had the longer tail.
It might have been the squirrel, but it was still a butt.
I still want a chipmunk. Not gonna lie.
And there was
I love the cabin. Can we talk about the cat there, like, cottage for a second? Oh my goodness. Everything is, like, made of wood, and it has some sort of thing carved on it. Everything. Their steps. The side of their stairs has owl faces on them. Like, that is some hardcore dedication to cabin building.
What do you do when you're a dwarf in the middle of the woods?
Apparently do a lot of work on your house and then not take care of it.
But they didn't have time to clean. They were carving the stairs.
Apparently. It looks very Germanic, I guess they would say. Very, like, traditional folksy carving feel to it, which I think is really neat. And they have, like, cuckoo clocks and stuff. I love all the cuckoo clocks. There's, like, three cuckoo clocks in this movie.
I do like the cuckoo clock. Little cuckoo frog clock.
Yeah. And then we get the dwarves for the
we
first time.
We get the dwarves, which, really,
they sing the dig, 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 dig song.
Yes. Okay, first of all, side note, that is the greatest mine in the world, because, like, you kick up a pile of dirt, you're gonna find 7 to 8 jewels in it.
And not even just jewels, like, perfectly cut and pre-polished jewels buried in the dirt. What the
like
hell?
Like, that first scene, and there's the three guys, and just everything is sparkling in there. And I'm like, why do you even have those pickaxes? Just run your hand along the wall until priceless jewels fall into your hand.
Basically. And then they just lock them in a cupboard with the key right next to the door. And they never do anything with them. They even sing in the song, in the Diggs song, like, we have no idea why we do this, but we do. And, jewels, that's cool. We're gonna put them in this box. That's it.
Because that's what you do in your door. Okay, so talking about the dwarves for a second. The dwarves were like, there's been interviews with Walt Disney. He was talking about the dwarves were going to be the main focus of the entertainment in this movie. Like, a lot of the humor and the appeal to children all comes from the dwarves. And when you look at the original Snow White story, you got to be like, that's where the cartoon version is going to focus, is on these dwarves. And so, and as a kid, Dopey was, you know, easily my favorite, because he was the pratfall slapstick fun one.
It's true.
And so, but yeah, watch it this time around. I really like Grumpy, and I really like Doc.
Dashiell was my favorite. He's really? So cute. And I really liked Dopey as a kid, but Bashful has always been one of my favorites. I don't know, he turns all red, and he gets all shy, and I think that's just really cute. Because, like, he doesn't have, like, a super strong character. Doc kind of annoyed me. I forgot that... Yeah, well, he just...
I forgot he messed up words like that.
I did, like, too. As a kid, I didn't even notice that, but, like, now it just got kind of aggravating.
Oh, my God. I thought that was a cute little quirk. Because Doc, his name doesn't give him anything.
He doesn't, like, have any attributes to his name.
Do you have a medical practice, Mr. Dwarf?
I hope not.
Do you splint the legs of all the other dwarves? Is that why you're called Doc?
Perform operations with pickaxes.
It's like, I guess because he has glasses, so they're like, Doc?
I think they just wanted one that wasn't a something E.
Well,
an adverb, I guess.
You know, the thing is, I was watching, I was like, you know, Happy doesn't really have any actual thing to itself, because all the dwarves are happy all the time, except for when Snow White dies, and they're really sad, and Happy's sad then anyway.
It's true.
He's not, like, happy through and through.
No, it's true. So, oh, well.
But. So Happy was, like, the most generic dwarf.
And then they sing Hi Ho.
Sing Hi Ho, which is, like, the Snow White song. Hi-ho. Oh, my goodness.
Everybody knows that song.
Here's the thing, is, like, what I always learned was the It's Off to Work We Go song. And they barely sing that. They sing the full version of the It's Home from Work We Go. And then they just do a tiny little reprise of It's Off to Work.
I guess
that's
true. I never thought about it.
And I was like, that's the one that's weird. I really know and sing when I'm, you know, walking along my merry way. And it's stuck in my head. I always think It's Off to Work.
That's kind of weird.
But, so.
What really struck me about the dwarf singing was, like, how much, like, excellent harmonizing is on. And how good they are at whistling. Oh my goodness, that is some impressive whistling. Like, I can whistle, but I can't do that.
They whistle a straight up tune and carry it and all like, while walking.
Trills and everything. It's very impressive. And I really like the dwarf songs, because even in later Disney, you don't get a lot of men singing in groups. Like, there's no really occasion for that. So it's cool to see. It's cool to hear Disney songs sung by dudes in groups. Because normally if it's a guy singing, it's either a duet with a lady or it's...
a bad guy.
A bad guy singing his bad guy song.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
But. And oh my God, walking home. Them, like, strolling casually home with their pickaxes. There's, like, the most beautiful waterfall and the most picturesque sunset in the history of mankind. Just, like, chilling there. It's ridiculous. I literally had to pause the movie to be like, wow, that's really pretty. Yeah.
It's because everything in this movie just...
It's true.
And it's so fluid and... I mean, because... Yeah, just to go back to the animation again, because I couldn't get over the animation in this.
Me either.
Because the thing is, like, I kind of assumed that it just looked better in my memory because all that stuff did. Because Godzilla looked really scary in my memory, and now when I watch Godzilla, he's, you know, a rubber guy walking around in Legoland.
Basically.
And so now I'm like, that movie is better than I remember it.
Yeah.
Just, it's fluid, and it's so gorgeous.
It's really pretty. So. And then they get home. Oh, wait, no. Home. No, we have some animal stuff first. Because they get home, and the animals freak out. And that poor turtle. I did not remember this turtle. Okay, so there's, like, two definite reoccurring animal characters in this movie, other than, you know, like, the flock. There's a fly, who I didn't remember either, who bothers one of the dwarves. Which one is it? Maybe Sneezy?
Before they fall asleep?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he tickled Sneezy's nose, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, I think he consistently bothers Sneezy, poor Sneezy. And there's a turtle who's with the group of animals. And, you know, it's all of these animals that are, like forest animals. So it's, like, rabbits and chipmunks and squirrels and deer. And they're all really fast. And the poor turtle, every time, just tries to keep up with them. And then they always, like, lap him in the end. And he ends up spinning or falling down the stairs. And he's so good-natured about it. He's always like, okay, I'll just follow you guys still. That poor turtle. I feel really bad for him.
I do feel bad for that turtle. He was clamping onto those stairs as he was trying to climb.
Such a struggle to drag it up the stairs. And then they come home and they have some silly, like, sneaking around things.
Yeah.
In which I noticed they all wear the same pair of shoes.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know why I noticed that, but just, like, the way their feet were moving, I looked at their feet and I was like, oh, those are all the same. That's interesting.
They do. And that's when Grumpy started talking, and Grumpy has the silliest accent. Because they're going to eat something, he's like, don't touch that, that's poison.
Yeah, he does not use grammar correctly at all. And they sit around for a good, like, probably 10 minutes, and Snow White apparently has narcolepsy or something. She does not wake up this whole time, and they are not quiet at all. My favorite quote, though, from this movie is when they're staring at Snow White in the bed, and Grumpy says, she's a female, and all females is poison. And she's like, they's full of wicked wiles. And then one of them asks, like, what's a wile? And he's like, I don't know, but it's bad. And I just love that conversation. It's so funny and like, so over-the-top sexist, but it's just, oh my god, it's so bad.
The thing is, so they're all downstairs, and they send Dopey upstairs, because they know that there's the noise is coming from inside the house.
That's so mean. Like, Dopey doesn't talk. And, like, there's probably something a little mentally off about Dopey, and they're going to send him upstairs? Like, you are terribly cruel people.
That's what they have Dopey for. They send him upstairs. And so the way the animation works there is Snow White's in bed, and she's, you know, the sheets are moving, and I'm thinking, okay, so Dopey's going to think it's a ghost.
Yeah.
Because it's a sheet on a person. And it looks like Snow White is getting up because the sheets are really rustling.
Yeah, she's like stretching herself.
Apparently, yeah, she's doing some sort of mid-sleep aerobic move to get those sheets to form like that. Because Dopey goes
it's
down.
It's how she stays so pretty, Joel.
Whole other conversation. And they go back upstairs and she's still in this, like, I'm trapped in these sheets. These sheets have got me trapped.
Maybe she just had one of those moments where you, like, wake up in a strange bed in a hotel or something, and you're like, where am I? And then you go back to sleep. Maybe she just has lots of those.
Yeah, they pull those sheets off, and there she is, like, totally still in asleep.
Totally. Oh, like, man, she's so dainty. Every move she makes is so feminine and, like, over-the-top girly. It's really impressive. Just, like, you know, she's sweeping, and she's, like so graceful while sweeping. It's ridiculous.
And she always has those, like, really rosy cheeks.
She does.
Was apparently real, what's it called, rouge.
Real rouge. I heard about that. Yep. They could find a color that they liked for the color of her cheeks. So, so I heard that initially it was done by a woman, because at the time, initial drawing and I think inking was only done by men, but women were employed in the color department. And I think the lady started bringing that in and being like, this is the only accurate color. We're going with it.
That's the thing, because Walt Disney, like, they started doing it. Walt Disney stopped them and said, how do you know how much to put on so it's not too much? Like, what's your rate? And they go, what do you think we've been doing our entire lives? This is how you do it.
We know this. It's cool.
So calm down with your mustache and let us make you this masterpiece film.
Calm down with your mustache. It's true. And then she wakes up.
She wakes up.
And she's like, oh, you're not kids. That's weird.
They're little men.
And their little noses pop up over the side of the bed, and it's so cute. I love that little bit of animation.
Okay, so there was a thing when they were pitching stuff. Something was implemented called something like the $5 a bit rule, where, like, if you pitched a bit, and it got in the movie, you get a little $5 bonus. And that was the one, that's like the famous one that got pitched, was the noses popping over one by one, going boop, 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 boop.
I think that's super cute. So, I like that one.
Grumpy has a real big nose, though. Like, I noticed that.
It's very sized. Like,
and surprisingly, like, Dopey's is fairly small in comparison. Yeah. Like, for being the character that is the biggest comic relief.
Yeah, his nose
and is nose sizes being such a standard thing for comedy.
Yes.
I'm like, well, look at that. That's a nice little normal-sized nose.
It's true.
But so, she goes, and she goes, oh, you're little men. You're not children at all.
Mm-hmm.
And she never calls them dwarves.
No.
I think only the mirror. The mirror said that she lived with the seven dwarves.
Yeah.
When the queen thought she was dead.
Yeah, I think that's the only, like, actual reference to the word dwarves in the movie, which is interesting.
Yeah. Side note about the word dwarves, it's spelled with an F.
Yes.
And so, apparently, J.R.R. Tolkien is the guy that changed that with the Hobbit and Lord of the Rings.
I didn't know that. I just thought it was Disney being, like a special snowflake.
Or, so apparently,
like, not knowing the plural.
That's what you did in the...
Interesting.
Thing. Because I found that out, and I was, like, searching all my covers, and I was like, really? Isn't it... Did they spell it with an F for real? Because I assumed it was spelled the way it is now.
Yeah, apparently. That's cool.
So, yeah.
So, yeah. She wakes up, and the dwarves are like, what are you doing in our house? And she's like,
it's cool, I know your names.
Yeah, she's like, it's cool, I made food. And they're like, oh, well, you can, like, stay here forever if you want to. Food?
Except for Grumpy.
There's food. Food like, stands chairs. Pazin. And then they go to wash.
They go to wash. And I didn't remember that song at all.
I vaguely remember that song. I remember the, like, part.
I remember nothing about that whole part. And I was like, that's the most adorable little song.
It's really cute. I just love how, like, appalled they are by washing and how they have no idea how to do it. Like, well, Disney did not have high opinions of men, apparently. What is this washing nonsense?
Well, they figured it out. Although, like, yeah, they washed everything.
Yeah.
Like, you wash your hands for some reason. They were just like, put it on my face?
I guess you need to wash your face. If they, like, worked in mines and stuff, I guess their faces would
be dirty. They should probably, you know, take a little cleaning moment to...
be presentable. Yeah. Although, I did like, just before this, actually, I totally forgot to mention... I had forgotten that they knew who Snow White was. They knew she was the princess, and they knew her stepmother was crazy. And I'm like, okay, if it's spread this far out into the forest that her stepmother is crazy, shouldn't somebody have, like, been like, maybe we should get that girl out of there?
She's the queen.
I guess so.
And she's the queen of a kingdom with 11 people in it.
Basically.
And she enslaved somebody in a mirror.
It's true, so I wouldn't...
Maybe.
Really
argue against. or her predecessor did. Somehow she was gotten possession of that mirror.
The slave mirror, I don't know. And then we cut from the happy singing washing song to the evil lady making
the evil
potions.
Queen. Well, so first she talks to the mirror and is like, now it's me, right?
Yeah.
And the mirror's like, ha-ha.
Nope. So, and then he's like, that's a pig.
The mirror also has weird lips, by the way.
Yeah. Well, he looks like a drama mask.
Yeah, he looks like the happy face, sad faces.
Yeah, but like, yeah, he's kind of weird looking. And then she goes down to her dungeon, because that is where you do all of your evil work. My favorite part of the scene... I actually have two favorite parts of the scene, but my first favorite part of the scene is that she, like, strolls in the door, and... you see her bookshelf, and I paused it on the bookshelf because I was curious, and the book titles are the stupidest stuff. Like, one legitimately says witchcraft, one says sorcery, one says black magic, and one says astrology. And I was like, hey, evil queen, what's your sign? Like, is that really that evil? I had no idea.
And the one she got was disguises.
Yeah, got a book, Disguises, which is good.
And I'm like, Disguises? By Jonathan Aardvark, or whatever. Like, who wrote that book?
I don't know.
He's like, and you know, and it has all the pretty handwritten, hand-drawn, fancy letters.
It's all illuminated. It's ridiculous.
And she talks to herself for that whole scene.
Well, I guess she talks to her bird, technically, but that's not much better.
She's talking to herself.
She's crazy, so...
Yeah. But that was where she started rhyming, and I was like, I wonder if there was a song here at one point.
I don't know. Well, I think it was just supposed to be she was evil, so she was, like, spell-casting-y rhyming, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. okay, maybe, my other,
even when she was like,
my other favorite part of the scene is the fact that, like, she reads the fine print that she can be awoken with love's first kiss, and she's mm-hmm. like, oh, well, then she's not actually dead, but it's cool, because she'll be buried alive. And she's, like, really, really excited about this, and I'm like, oh my god, I don't remember this being that creepy.
Yeah, I remember that. No, the thing I was wondering, though, was when she did stop and be like, oh, you know, after she made the whole potion, and mm-hmm. she's like, oh, what if there's something else, you know? What if this could totally be fixed?
I didn't read the second page.
But she didn't do that about turning herself into a hag. And I'm like, what if there's no antidote to that? Like, you're going to have to kill so many people so that mirror will like you again.
All the people. That's really funny. And then we come back to the cabin. Like, cottage time. Okay.
No. She leaves the castle first, doesn't she?
Yeah, I think she does.
Because that, I don't remember that at all. And the skeleton that was, like, trying to get the water. And I was like, oh, that's such a harsh thing to put in this Disney movie.
I know, and it's so disturbing. He's like...
And there's a couple of skeletons, like, strewn across the walls. Where people who were prettier than her have been put in this dungeon.
Okay.
Which I assume is their crime, because that's, like, the main crime in this
They were too kingdom.
Pretty. We leave the witch in her spooky boat, and she's walking through the swamps.
Yes.
Because to not be seen, I guess?
Sneaky?
I guess. I don't know. But we cut back to
really bad cottage. Directions. MapQuest went wrong.
MapQuest, why are you saying the cottage is through the spooky marsh?
I thought the cottage was through the perfectly legitimate field of flowers.
Well, it's through the field of flowers and then the hallucinogenic forest. And then take a left at where the birds drag you.
Alternatively, it's trudged through swampy marsh and then... wander up to the cabin, I guess. There's not much more direction than that. So that's good. And then we cut back to the cottage, and they are having a party of some sort.
They're having a dance.
They're dancing.
Which, I mean, that's what people did back then, is just, you know, played instruments to pass the time.
Yeah. And the yodel. I love the yodeling.
The yodel. I love that song.
I do, too.
Like, that's just the...
super cute.
But there was a scene, there was a scene cut where they were eating the food, and there's some song somewhere in the Disney vault that was recorded where they're just singing about their soup.
I wish they'd kept it.
I want that song.
I know, right?
So, that would have been, that's, so, but instead of that, we get the yodeling song, so I guess I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And then Snow White sings Someday My Prince Will Come.
She does.
And that song is often touted as, like, people's least favorite Disney songs. Which, like, I can understand. It's very old-fashioned and kind of weak.
Yeah.
But, I mean, basically what has happened is this girl has been abused her entire life. And she has managed to stay optimistic enough to want somebody to come and be... her significant other. That's all she wants in life. Which, like, I can't really fault her for. I mean, if I had been in the same situation, I probably just would have been like, can someone please just, like, get me out of this mess? That would be really nice.
Excuse me.
Excuse me. But she is
singing about the prince, right?
Yeah, she's singing about that prince in particular.
Because she has met him and is like, you me.
That one.
We got this.
Yeah. What is he prince of? Is it a neighboring kingdom?
The White Castle?
The other castle? Is that the other castle at the end? Is that a different castle? Are they going back to their castle? The original castle?
I'm assuming it's a different castle.
I don't know.
Is he even a prince? Is he just a guy with some nice pants? And they're going to be...
and a cape and a hat. I don't know.
And they're going to go and rule the kingdom that she had anyway?
I don't know. Like, does she inherit... Would she have inherited the kingdom if she didn't get married? I don't know. Like, the queen ruled by herself. Presumably. Unless she just had her husband, like, locked up somewhere. Unless her
husband
was a skeleton.
He could totally be the guy that wanted some water.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
There's so many unanswered questions, Snow White.
Oh, so confusing. But, yes, he sings that song.
They go to bed.
And then they,
And the dwarves are real noble, and give her all seven beds.
That was such a cute scene. Grumpy's so grumpy about it. And yeah. All the dwarves are like, you can go sleep in Arvin and Snow White. And Snow White's like, really? She's like, no one ever does nice things for me. Thank you for your beds. And then Dopey, I love that scene where Dopey's like, I got the pillow. I know. I got it. And he goes before anybody else, and then they all like tackle him for the pillow.
And he gets one feather. Which was a pretty, pretty cushy feather, to tell you the truth.
It's true.
But
it's a large feather. Yes. Very large.
So then they have the lovely little sleep scene, and the fly, that's where the fly makes his return.
The fly. In the sleeping scene. It's a very annoying fly.
It's the next morning, isn't it?
It cuts back to the queen for a little bit. Maybe we have them out of order. Maybe she left for like a castle. Yeah. Or she left the castle after the
yodeling. No, she scene. I think she, because there was the scene where she talked to the mirror, and that was a different scene than where she leaves the castle.
Yeah.
Okay. But we've discussed the queen, so
we're done with that. Moving on.
Moving on.
And then she's baking pies. The next morning.
Yeah, she is baking pies that birds are walking around on.
Yep. Cleanliness. So. Again, like...
After she made that big speech about washing your hands, she's like, you know what can walk around in your pie?
Birds. Sounds good. And then the queen comes up, disguised as a witch, and makes her eat the apple.
So... Well, she was pretty okay with doing.
Yeah. She was pretty convinced. I mean, I guess she was pretty desperate. But, I thought it was interesting. I didn't remember that you don't actually see her die. Cuts to the queen's face and her being, talking, like, super excited. And you hear her, like, and talking. She's like,
oh, this feels... And then drops the apple with the one bite out of it.
Yep.
So,
my favorite part of that scene, though, is when the queen's, like, talking to her and trying to convince her to like, take some apples from her. And she's like, apple pies are the best kind of pies. Apple pies made of apples. I'm like, really? Yeah, that's okay. What apples are.
In her defense, apple pie is the best kind of pie.
It is also my favorite kind of pie. But, like, you didn't have to clarify what apple pie was made of, lady.
She made a solid argument in my book. But I don't remember the vultures either.
Apparently
were
a too.
Pretty integral plot point. Like,
yeah, they're like,
that's really... how the birds figured out what was about to happen. And
yeah, very weird.
Got the dwarves.
And then, yeah, they go and get the dwarves, and then the dwarves had to ride the deer back, and that's really funny.
Yeah, and that's where the turtle makes his return, is where he's like, I'm gonna go get the dwarves too. Oh, you already got him. Okay,
never mind. Poor turtle.
I'll just amble on back.
And then she's dead.
Yeah.
So, like...
She's dead?
Well, she's dead, and the queen is dead. The dwarves chase after the queen. And she falls off a cliff.
And it's raining, and she falls off a cliff. And that's also kind of a repeating thing in Disney movies, is the bad guy falling to death.
That's true, because they don't like to have, good guys being actively involved in death.
So the good guy doesn't have to kill anybody, but the bad guy is for sure he's dead.
Yeah, basically.
So that's kind of the only way they can do it. Because, the dwarves did nothing but chase him out. Like, the lightning is what knocked her off
balance. I was kind of freaked out by that scene. Not because, the witch scared me, but because the dwarves had, pickaxes and stuff with them. And I was like, if she had fallen off the cliff, would they have killed her with pickaxes? That's awful. I mean, she's a terrible person.
Yeah. But,
that's scary.
They had a vendetta there.
But, they don't even know that Snow White is dead at that point. They don't even know that she's seen Snow White. They don't even know for sure that she's the queen. They are taking it on the direction and motivation of animals who they cannot speak to. And they are about to kill this lady with a pickaxe.
I mean, maybe they're just chasing her out of town.
Maybe.
Being, we don't want your kind around here.
But they didn't seem too upset when she fell off the cliff.
Well...
And then they have Snow White's funeral.
They have Snow White's funeral,
and... That is so upsetting. I totally forgot about that scene, but it's really sad.
It is really sad. Okay, but it takes place, like, the scene we see takes place a year after the queen dies.
When she's in, wait, the scene where Snow White's outside in the coffin, right?
Yeah, because we get the word text. We get text, the
seasons, yeah.
And then all the seasons, and then that scene where she is, and that's a really upsetting scene, because
it's really sad.
Even happy is sad.
Oh, and they're crying, and the music yeah. sounds like funeral parlor music, like it's,
mm-hmm.
oh, it's really depressing. I totally yeah. forgot about that.
Well, yeah, that's another example, like, oh, the music in this movie. We haven't talked about that much other than that's that one true. Scene, but the music in this movie is real, just the score.
Yeah, the score is really, really nice.
So.
And then she's in the coffin, the glass coffin, and the prince comes and kisses her.
Yeah, we get the pretty scene, and the prince comes, kisses her. And she says goodbye to everybody.
Yeah, she does. She just, like, wanders like, off.
Gets on like, the she'll horse never and, see them again.
Which seems really weird.
Yeah, I don't know why the dwarves can't come and visit her castle.
I guess they could, but, you know, she got to go get married first.
And she, okay, here's the thing. And then she kisses six of them goodbye.
Does she miss one? I didn't notice.
I think she misses Sleepy. It was hard for me to tell. I think she misses Sleepy.
That's so sad. But she only kisses
six of them, and I was like, somebody didn't get to say goodbye to Snow White. After that, they did just as much chasing the queen off as anybody else.
I know. Oh my goodness. And then yeah, magical happily ever after.
Happy ever and after.
They go off to the castle. Whose castle it is? and
which is kind of in the clouds, kind of like it's a.
Yeah, it reminded me of Sleeping Beauty, where the end is like floaty cloud stuff.
Yeah.
And
you get that vocal score right there.
That's really nice too.
that happens a lot in the early Disney movies.
It does.
Like those guys that are. Up a lot, and the book closes with the
yeah.
And I'm like, oh, storybook.
It struck me as odd, like a couple of things really struck me about this movie, other than like Snow White being the most optimistic person on the planet and her deserving every happiness she could get. Was first of all how like. The movie itself is not that short. It's like an hour and a half or so, which is like about average for animated movies. But yeah. The time period in which the story takes place for the most of the action is like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Which I never thought about as a kid. So like she doesn't even really know the dwarves that well. But that's the other thing that really strikes me about it is how so fond they are of her within 2 days of meeting her. Like they are absolutely enraptured by this lovely girl who has stumbled into their house. So much so that they are so upset and they grieve a lot when she dies. And like
yeah. For a year.
Yeah. And that's just so interesting to me. And I didn't really think about it as a kid because I just didn't pay attention to like how long she was there. I always assumed it was like, you know, a couple months at least, but it's really just the 2 days that we see anyway. There might have been more time in between that, but probably not. The queen makes some quick work there.
Yeah. She asked that mirror like daily probably.
Am I the prettiest now? No.
Well, then. And so as soon as she was like, you know, nope, that's a pig heart. Okay. I thought it was a deer heart. And I think, like, the storybook, like, with the It's Time to Turn the Page book.
Had a deer heart.
I think it had a deer heart, and I have to go and dig through the attic to find that. See if you
can find it.
Because I really thought that was a deer heart.
I think I have mine at home, so I can check for you. I know where they are. My mom actually found them a while ago. So I can check for you if you can't find it. And yeah,
do that.
We will report next week.
Report back on a later day, because I was like, a pig heart? What? Where did he get that? He doesn't hunt pig. He's a huntsman.
There could be like wild pigs, wild or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe he's a huntsman slash farmer.
Somebody's got to be a farmer in that kingdom.
Apparently, we don't know where they get food. Yeah. Yeah, I really liked this movie. It's very charming, and it's really pretty, and the music is nice, and the characters are really funny and. Fun.
Yeah, it's like This is one where I was, you know, thinking about doing the 50, and there was a lot that I was looking forward to. And this one I was, you know, I was happy to do, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't excited to do it. But it was such a wonderful experience to watch, mm-hmm. I guess, just to physically look at all of it. Because so much of it is so visually stunning. So it's hard to express on an audio podcast.
It's, you know, pretty, guys.
What I liked about this movie, but, and even just like the facial work on Snow White and like on the Huntsman, who's in there for two scenes, and just watching him talk and move, and I was like, that's so beautifully done, and I wonder what the production was like. Who did they watch somebody walk around and say these words to get this art well done? And I've been reading about, since watching the movie, and reading about the process of, like, of picking the dwarfs and picking their names and characteristics, and deciding, like, what the queen should look like. And there was one point where the queen was this, like, you know, fat, frumpy woman, and so, which, you know, and now she's this really beautiful, scary person.
She's very scary.
You know, like, it was like her and Maleficent are like both really pretty villains.
They're very good looking, which I think is an interesting choice because, it makes a lot of sense for Snow White because, you know, she has to be like, am I the prettiest? Because I'm not the prettiest. I shouldn't have a list to like pick people off. Sort of thing. Also, my question was, if you went up to the mirror now and you were like, hey mirror, who's the fairest in the land? Who is number three? Who's third in line for fairest in the land?
I don't know.
Is it going to be like Dopey? Of the 11? Dopey's the fairest in the land?
Yep. Because, and I was trying to decide if the dwarves were humans or not, or if they were supposed to be a different species of creature. Yeah, like, you know, magical Middle Earth dwarves. Because they don't have five fingers, and all the humans do. They only have four fingers.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of up in the air because, you know, they could just be, like, people, or they could be legitimate, like, otherworldly creatures.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, they were the more cartoony character, and the more cartoony way to draw a hand is with the three fingers and a thumb, yeah. So, you know, and that could be just that. I don't know if Disney was really trying to subtly point out that these were otherworldly characters.
I don't know. That's interesting. I'm really excited to see how the minecart ride comes out at Disney World.
Yeah.
In relation to Snow White. And I'm not really sorry to see Snow White's scary adventure go. But it really did pretty well reflect the mood of the film. Like, the film was scary, so...
There were a lot of scary moments in this movie.
Yeah.
And so... Which, again, so much of this movie I don't remember.
Me either. And so... And I think it's probably the reason that I have seen it as much as a lot of the others is because it scared me a lot as a child. I remember her death, like, the queen's death, like, really vividly. And I think that just really frightened me, so I didn't watch as much as other Disney. So,
I remember the woods scare. It was so.
Everybody should go watch Snow White. Do it. You will enjoy it. We promise.
It is. It's such a good thing to watch. And I didn't watch it on Blu-ray, but like just watching, I was like, I wonder how this looks on Blu-ray.
Probably really pretty.
So. Oh man, yeah. I watched it on VHS. So I didn't even watch it on DVD.
How nostalgic!
So, because that's how I did as a kid. So I was like, because I had the Masterpiece Collection.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, it was the first movie to be released on the Masterpiece Collection.
Oh, well, that's appropriate.
Because in 1994.
That's cool.
Just going along with my, I like these firsts things.
It's true. I think. Snow White is just so iconic, the way she looks. I love her character design, and I think that she continues to be one of the most recognized characters just in our collective psyche.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool.
Understandably so.
Yep.
Because she's... I mean, again, and she's, you know... She's as almost as important to Disney as Mickey Mouse is.
Yeah.
Because of what she did for... And what the movie did for the animation film department. Which, it built it.
Right.
And it validated it.
Yes.
One other thing I wanted to mention watching it was there was nobody, none of the voice actors were credited in this movie.
No.
And so.
And.
Because.
The girl who voice acted Snow White did not have a career after this.
No, because they wanted her to be Snow White.
They had her, like, contractually obligated not to be out. In films. Which I think is a little underhanded, I guess. But at the time, they were desperate for any means to, like, ensure that this movie worked. And yeah. I think that was just one of their ways of doing that.
Well, so it's, you know, it is what it is now, you know, as bad luck of the draw or, you know, shady business dealings as it was. It is what it is. And it has made that voice, the Snow White voice, and we were talking about Snow White is such a distinctive voice and such an iconic voice. And part of that is because you only hear that voice as Snow White.
It's true.
And so, it has, you know, for what's worth, it has built a legacy into this movie.
Yeah.
Because of that. Yeah. Well, I guess, unless you have anything else, that's Snow White.
I think that's about it.
So, I really, really adored it. Next week, we will be doing Pinocchio.
Pinocchio?
I think.
Yeah.
Which was the other movie that scared me terribly.
Yeah, it scared me a lot as a kid. So
I haven't watched this one in years because it scared me.
I'm curious to see how scary it will be now. It'll probably be even freakier, I'm sure.
It probably will. There'll probably be stuff I didn't notice before.
I know.
Weird. And that will scare, especially on that island of donkey children.
God, the donkey kids. Whatever it's called. Me. Oh.
Whatever. Oh,
most that of the next podcast will just be us going, donkey children, why? Oh, God, so disturbing.
Okay. Oh, man.
So that's what we'll be watching next week.
All right, so join us next week for Pinocchio.
Yay.
All right.